This podcast includes graphic depictions of true crime cases and may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Everyone, and welcome to a new episode of We Saw the Devil. This is Robin.
And this is Jackie.
And I would like to apologize ahead of time. We are dying from allergies, like literally almost deceased. So I know some of you don't like the vocal fry on a good day. So it's going to be extra on this one. Today's episode is regarding a case that I have been partially obsessed with for years.
I think obsessed is a weird thing to say, considering.
I just find it so completely fascinating, the legal ramifications. Just everything about this is so bizarre and crazy. And what's so weird is that this case has such a huge foothold in modern culture, TV shows, music, stage, theater. I mean, it's crazy. And we actually mentioned it in one of our last episodes. And I'm like, you know what? Let's do kind of a check-in and let's cover that case. So
this was a case that you and I actually strangely bonded over.
It is. Particularly a film made about the case.
I want to ask you, how many days do you have left until the LSAT?
Two days.
How many days until your birthday? I'm going to embarrass you.
Four?
God.
My birthday is coming up, guys, and I feel old. And I don't know whether it's just 2020 making it extra depressing or...
She smells old. Somebody needs to open the window.
Big week this week. I take the LSAT in 2 days. Thank you so much to everyone who's reached out and sent private messages on Facebook and Instagram. Little words of encouragement. You have no idea how much that means. And then, yeah, my birthday's coming up and... In the times of COVID, I'm not doing anything.
So. Well, you are in our thoughts to do over a 150.
Yes. Looking forward to that. So today's case is the case of Armin Mivas, who is also known as the Rottenburg Cannibal and the Master Butcher.
It took a moment to find out how to say his last name.
Everyone around me has said Armin Mews. Everyone since I was a child, and you know, doing some heavy research into this, I now understand that his last name is Mivas.
You make it sound like it was one of the very first things that you ever said as a child instead of dad or mom. Be like, Muse, I'm in Muse. Yeah. I'm scared.
So he is the German man who went onto a cannibal website, a forum of sorts, and he was looking for a man to eat. Long story short, he found the victim, he recorded the entire thing, and he was eventually caught.
How can he not be the brunt of all the bad jokes about German food? Like right. Wiener schnitzel, like...
Oh, we will get to the schnitzel.
Oh, I love me some schnitzel, but not that kind.
Yeah. Before we get into the episode, guys, just a couple things. If you haven't, don't forget to check out our last episode, which was a deep dive on Mr. Jason Mao. Yeah, we worked really hard for that one to try to paint as accurate of a picture of who he is in relation to the Lori Vallow case, how he was involved, if at all. And so that was our current one. So definitely check that out if you are listening and involved in the Lori Vallow case. Also, our Patreon. We're coming up on September, guys. So September's postcards are going out. And for those of you who are not aware or maybe first-time listeners, we love our patrons.
We do love you.
What we do is we have a variety of different tiers, everything from $3 up to $100, and wide variety of benefits. So one being our postcards for the case of the month, and the ones for September will be going out soon. So we pick a location anywhere in the world, and then we send all of our patrons for the tier, the postcard to it, and...
True crime goodies.
True crime goodies.
Well, we custom made true crime goodies. This last month, you guys got custom posters, custom postcards, custom everything.
Little crime scene bags.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was a fun find.
Yeah, I was really excited when I found that. I was like, oh my God, they need this.
Yes.
And you can put makeup, you can use it as a purse, you can do everything with it. And yeah. Literally it says evidence bag. Yeah. And it's really cool.
It's really cool. So if you would like to support the show, if you're enjoying it and would like to support it, feel free. You can check us out at patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil or the support us icon on our website, WeSawTheDevil. Beyond that, you can find us on Facebook at WeSawTheDevil, Twitter at WeSawTheDevil, and changing it up on Instagram, WeSawTheDevilPodcast. Let's get into it. Do you have anything else to share, Jackie?
You made Dunkaroos.
I did. For those of you who love Dunkaroos or, you know, dipping graham crackers in things, really quick recipe I'm going to share with you guys. You can make Dunkaroo icing that's even better than the icing. Pretty close copycat, but better. And all it is a box of Funfetti cake mix, a tub of Cool Whip refrigerated, a 1 cup of vanilla Greek yogurt. I like vanilla personally, so I add a little splash of vanilla extract. And then I also add a tablespoon, although it's not required, of the rainbow chip frosting. Stir everything up and you have Dunkaroo icing.
Now that you got everyone hungry, we're going to talk about the hungriest man.
Yes.
Oh, man. Prepare to lose your appetite.
Prepare to lose your appetite. And I would like to add an additional disclaimer that the details on this one are particularly gory.
Gory.
Gory. Yeah. Prepare for that if you are of a weaker constitution.
Yes.
Alrighty, so Armin Mivus was born on December 1st, 1961 to Dieter Mivus and Waltraud Mivus. Dieter saved the dad and bought the family a 36-room, 16,000-square-foot mansion in Wüstefeld, Germany. And you should seriously, if you haven't, look up a picture of the house. It is insane and massive.
Why is that not my home?
Right?
I'm not sad. I want that.
Not after what transpired there.
Oh.
Armin loved Grimm's fairy tales, specifically the story of Hansel and Gretel. And his father testified later on in his trial that Armin, as a child, would reenact the scene where the witch tried to roast and eat Hansel.
That's not creepy.
At all. What would you do if your little child was like, yes, yes, eat the kid, eat the kid?
I would take it back. Right? I'd be like, you know, adoption sounds pretty good right now. Bye, buddy.
So unfortunately, Armin's parents were not very happy in their marriage. Waltraud was apparently extremely overbearing, possessive, and aggressive. And Armin witnessed multiple fits of domestic violence as a child. Dieter, his dad, was actually 19 years older than his wife. And he became tired of it. He was done. So when Armin was 7, he was playing outside and he watched as his parents were arguing inside. His father just came outside, got into his car, drove away, and never came back. Like, daddy went to the store for some cigarettes.
Yeah.
And never came back.
Oh, no.
That type of situation.
That's so sad. Like, mm-hmm. Poor kid. But that still doesn't excuse his behavior.
No.
People have been through way worse.
Mm-hmm. He felt really alone as a child. And he was in constant steady supply of imaginary friends. That's pretty much all he had. So after his trial, he actually discussed this and said, quote, over the years, I would add various components. The boys were also people I found attractive, who I imagined as my brother. And then I thought if they were to become a part of me, I would have to eat them.
See, he had friends. He just couldn't keep friends. He probably kept biting everybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody identified that. That's a messed up daycare story.
Right. And he started having these thoughts. He says he remembers as young as the age of 7 or 8. But around age 13, he came to the realization that he may actually be bisexual. He realized that he was, by definition, a likely cannibal.
Bisexual?
He was sexually attracted to women, but he was more drawn to men, but only for the reason that he wanted to eat them.
Why men? Why only men were edible?
Right?
So weird.
In January of 1981, when he was 19, he joined the West Germany Army. And he began a successful career in the military and actually rose up the ranks pretty quickly. However, he discovered alcohol, and that proved to be his downfall, and he was separated from the military due to alcoholism. He returned home to live with his mother, and multiple friends during his trial later on basically recounted that she was insane. She had him running around, doing all of the errands, doing all of the chores. If he were to go anywhere, she would call him. She would have him come home. She was very, again, domineering. So in 1999, Waltraud died of cancer. And this actually left Armin with a 16,000 square foot mansion that was literally rotting from the inside out. After his dad left, his mom just stopped taking care of anything and everything. And so it was literally rotting from the inside out with animal excrement everywhere.
How many animals did they have, I wonder?
I wonder.
Oh.
Now, at this point, Armin was 38 years old and had been working as a computer repair technician, and he had no friends or other family really to speak of. He had a couple people that he knew from work, but other than that, he was a recluse who went to work and returned home to his mother.
Wait, what happened to his imaginary friends?
Good question. Should write him a letter and ask.
Oh, God.
Every spare moment in Armin's time was spent reading, and he was a voracious reader by all accounts. And apparently in jail, that's all he does too. I mean, at this point, he's left with no checks or balances. So he starts to pass the time online, and he spent a considerable amount of time on forums and in chat rooms dedicated to cannibalism. So let's talk about the infamous post, the online post.
I remember seeing this.
Yes.
I remember I was relatively young, and this is back when forums were just like these really weird GeoCity setup.
Yeah.
And it had a really ugly background that was like very monotone. Mm-hmm. It was like Windows 98 feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Apparently, Armin first considered finding and snatching a person off the street and taking them entirely against their will. He ultimately decided that this was morally wrong and that he wanted it to be consensual.
At least he took the moral high ground.
Right.
Sarcasm, by the way.
So he constructed his first ad for his favorite cannibal forum, the Cannibal Cafe. His ad read, quote, "Seeking well-built man, 18 to 30 years old, for slaughter." And it was written under the name Frankie, which, eerily enough, was the name of his imaginary friend from his childhood.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
If we were another podcast, I would be like, full body chills. But
why full body chills? Why not goosebumps?
Now, you can actually go to the Wayback Machine and look at the Cannibal Cafe, and I suggest you do so. It is a shit show of epic proportions. You can actually see. Now, I'm looking at it right now, right, through the Wayback Machine. And at the top, it has snuff show previews, snuff sex, cattle training, livestock application, and available livestock. These are the menu options that they have. 99% of these people are people with a certain paraphilia involving more or less eating people or being eaten.
I see a political movie being made out of this. Right. I mean, that people, the regular people, are the livestock.
I'm sure it's already been done in some capacity.
Well.
So available livestock, and this is people who have submitted an application to this website and are wanting to either more or less have cyber sex acting out, you know, being eaten, or a couple of them actually really wanted to be eaten. Yeah, it's just, it is an absolute just hell pit of weirdness and grossness. If you've seen the HBO documentary about the cannibal cop, do you remember him from a couple years ago?
Yes.
How he had the same urges and he went online to forums and talked about the same thing, but claimed that he wasn't going to act on it. Kind of the same thing, but I suggest you look it up. You can, you know, get a feel for it yourself. Armin actually received a handful of replies to his ads, and you can see them again if you go to the Cannibal Cafe. You can see Armin's ads. They're still there up. He posted this ad over 60 times, and again, he received a lot of replies. Most just wanted to engage in some form of like graphic cannibal-themed cyber sex, which he obliged. He did. And two men replied to the ad and actually met with Armin in person. He turned both of them down due to a lack of sexual chemistry. And the second one actually also wanted to be nailed down and beaten to death. Armin thought that was, quote, weird.
Oh, so that's the limit, huh?
Yeah, I'm glad that we have some sort of standards, I guess. I don't know. One night in February of 2001, a 43-year-old computer software engineer from Berlin replied to Armin's post. And his name was Bernd Brandes. He didn't want to live anymore. He was suicidal, and not only did he want to end his life, he wanted to end his life via being consumed. And you see, he had actually put out his own ad. His ad said, quote, dinner or your dinner. And he's offering people the chance to, quote, eat me alive.
What kind of depression do you have to be in to want to be eaten alive? That is so bizarre.
It is really, truly bizarre. So a February conversation between the two men went as followed. And this is an actual transcript. Brandis, what will you do with my brain? Mivus, I'll leave it. I don't want to split your skull. Brandis, better bury it, preferably in a cemetery. Nobody notices skulls there. Or maybe pulverize it? Mivus, we have a very nice small cemetery here. Brandis, you could use it as an ashtray. Are you a smoker? Mivus, yes, but my teeth are still pretty white. Brandis, that's good. I smoke too. I hope you like smoked meat. Mivus, just bring yourself for breakfast.
Straight into the point, huh?
Yep. And there are lots and lots. They had countless conversations. You can Google those if you would like to read more interactions. I was actually originally going to read a second one, but just for the sake of time, and I mean, you guys get the point, right? So you can do your own secondary research if you would like to read transcripts to more conversations between them. So who was Bernd Brandis? He was a successful computer engineer for the German electronics company Siemens, but he was also very, very well known in Berlin's gay S&M scene, which apparently there's a big one. His former boyfriend, Victor Serrano, testified at Armin Mivus's trial and gave the following information. He said that he had met Brandis when he replied to an ad from a, quote, Caribbean boy. And yes, that's basically the same thing as a pool boy. Serrano replied to the ad, and he claims that they initially had sex at least twice a week over the course of their three-year relationship. He said, direct quote, Bernd kept urging me to bite off his penis. He always achieved orgasm when I placed my teeth around it. He wanted to be bitten everywhere, but the penis was his fantasy, his obsession. He offered me money, some 10,000 Deutschmarks. And after Googling it, 10,000 Deutschmarks, according to my math and Google, that's over $6,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Serrano ended up breaking things off with Brandis due to his obsession with having his penis mutilated. Now, Serrano's testimony was key in trying to determine whether Brandis desired to be killed or just harmed. And we will talk more about that later. And this is just giving context as far as who Bernd Brandis was. So 30-year-old Alexandra R. took the stand later on in the trial. And she had dated Bernd Brandis for 6 months in 1996. And they actually had plans to get married and have children. But Brandis eventually came out as gay openly, and then the two remained best friends. And she actually, Alexandra, had spoken with Bernd up to 3 days before he went to Armin Mivus's house. And she claims that he had been the kindest, most gentle man that she had ever met and did not believe the mutilation claims. Well, she was wrong.
Yeah, she was.
A man by the name of Renee was Bernd's current boyfriend and partner. And he, too, said that the issue of mutilation had never, ever entered their relationship.
That is so bizarre.
He said that their relationship and sex life had been, quote, normal, and that Bernd had even recently bought a new TV for their apartment. However, after Bernd left to meet Mivus, Renee found a will, like his will. Bernd had actually written up his will and addressed it to Renee. So that also made it clear that Bernd's intention was to die. Armin and Bernd communicated for a couple weeks before Bernd made his way to Armin's little town outside of Rottenburg. From a March 6, 2001 transcript of an online chat between Brandis and Armin Mivus. Brandis, thank you for your mail. You really turned me on. Winter with the temperature at around 5 to 15 degrees below freezing is good weather for slaughter. Great to be naked and tied in weather like that and to be driven to the slaughter. Where you then stun me and I collapse. You then hang me up, jerking, and cut my artery. Warm blood flows. Everything goes routinely. I don't have any chance to escape my slaughter at the last moment. It's a real turn-on, and the feeling of being at your mercy, being in your possession, having to give up my flesh. And Armin Mivus replied, it'll be awesome anyway. Your tasty body on show like that. Spicing it. Tying you up will be no problem. I've got rope and some cuffs for your hands and feet. I'll really enjoy the bit with the needles. I'll see if I can get a hold of some really long ones. I can't wait for you to be here.
Wait, where did he mention wanting needles?
Right?
I mean, where did that come from? So crazy.
Like, this is foreplay.
Oh, no. I mean, it's moral, right? The moral high ground of foreplay, right? For animals.
Now, let's discuss the infamous crime. And again, for those of you who don't really appreciate gory details, you should probably go elsewhere. As promised, on March 9th, 2001, Armin Mivas met Bernd Brandes at the train station in Kassel and then drove them both back to his home in the suburb of Rotenburg. The two men had sex, and then Armin Mivas turned on his camera. He started to record. The two men discussed the agreement that they had previously made, and again recorded that on video explicitly. In fact, the next 4 hours of this entire ordeal were recorded. Bernd Brandes then took 20 sleeping pills and drank almost a whole bottle of schnapps. When he was ready, he told Armin Mivas to bite off his penis. Armin attempted to do it, but it didn't work because it was too tough. So he grabbed a knife to sever it. At that point, he'd actually only succeeded in bursting both testicles.
How does that happen? Right. Oh.
The first knife was too dull, so he had to go grab a second.
Oh, it just keeps getting worse. Yeah.
Describing the event, Mivas later said, quote, he screamed horribly, but it was short, maybe 20 to 30 seconds. The blood was squirting from the open wound, similar to a fountain. While Bernd was rapidly losing blood, the pair's plan sprung into action. You see, Bernd and Armin had planned to eat his penis together. Armin helped Bernd to the kitchen as he blanched it, seasoned it with salt, pepper, and garlic powder, and then fried it. Quote, he tried to eat it, Armin later remarked. He was disappointed that he couldn't. It wasn't edible. Now, the penis was also slightly burnt, so he ended up feeding it to his dog.
Oh my god, the dog does not deserve that.
No, the dog is the real victim in all of this.
I agree. What?
At this point, Brandes was bleeding heavily and falling in and out of consciousness. So Armin drew him a bath, picked him up, and put him into it. And it was time for phase two of their plan. While Bernd slowly bled to death in a disgusting bathtub in a remote farmhouse, Armin was next door in the spare bedroom, reading a Star Trek novel.
Oh, just a normal day, right? Yep.
He checked on Bernd every 15 minutes while he bled out. After about 3 hours, Mivas entered the bathroom, kissed an unconscious Brandes on the lips, and then stabbed him in the throat. Finally, Bernd Brandes was dead. Armin picked Bernd Brandes up out of the bath and carried him to a nearby room that he had outfitted for this sole purpose. In court later on, Mivas called it the slaughter room. He hung Brandes up on a meat hook. He then got to work. After decapitating Brandes, he drained the body of blood. He disemboweled him and packaged up his organs. He then cut him in half and started to cut chunks of flesh from the different halves of his body. Once only bones remained, he tried to ground those into flour, but was unable to do so and get it fine enough.
Wow, he failed in all kinds of ways.
Yeah. He buried the skull in the garden and put the packs of human flesh in both a chest and kitchen freezer. Over the next 10 months, Armin Mivas consumed 66 pounds of human flesh that he had butchered. After his arrest, he told police that he made each dinner an event. He got out his best cutlery and decorated his table with candles. He even bought expensive South African red wine for the occasion. In between his meals, he would work at the computer repair shop or masturbate while watching the video of the event with Brandes.
Oh, what a sick, sick man.
Yeah. With an empty freezer, I mean, his freezer, he was running out, Armin could think of nothing other than replenishing his supply. So he once again took to the internet and back to the Cannibal Cafe to find another consensual victim. And he placed the same ad once again. This time, he only received replies from people who wanted to have cyber sex in one of the cannibal role-playing games. He quickly grew tired and frustrated and actually ended up boasting about how he's killed a man before. Now, when Mivas told a prospective victim, an Austrian student, that he, quote, wouldn't be the first person that he had killed and consumed, the man noped out and went right to police.
Wow.
Yeah. Police eventually came and they searched his home and arrested him in December of 2002. They found 15 pounds of the uneaten remains of Bernd Brandes in a secret compartment in Mivas' kitchen freezer underneath frozen pizza boxes. They also discovered the 4-hour-long videotape of the whole event. And after bringing in a canine unit to search the property, they found some of Brandes' physical remains buried in the garden. During the interrogation, Mivas admitted to the acts of cannibalism and murder, but maintained that it was a consensual act of pleasure. After all, the police had the Cannibal Cafe chat logs and the videotape confirming that Bernd Brandes consented to the act numerous times. But there was that one little tricky piece. Cannibalism wasn't a crime in Germany at this time. It was legal. There was no law against it. So the charge ended up being manslaughter.
Wait, Germany's been around for a long time. How did they not figure that law out?
Right?
That's concerning. I'm not going to lie.
Now, the trial took place in the city of Kassel, and it was an absolute circus. Media teams arrived from as far as the United States, Canada, and South Korea. Mivas took the stand and on the first day said that it had been something that he wanted to do for a long time. Quote, I always had the fantasy and in the end I fulfilled it. With every bite, my memory of him grew stronger. Mivas was very, very forthright about everything that he had done. He was completely open. He said, quote, in the slaughter room after he was dead, I separated the head from his body and hung him from the ceiling. Then I removed his organs and cut him in half. I poured hot water over the two halves and washed the body. Mivas buried Brandis's entrails and skin in the garden while he packed the stakes into the body of a secret compartment hidden in his freezer. The case had a wide variety of witnesses, and many of Mivas's childhood friends testified in it. Bertold Seeberg discussed Armin's mother and how she was abusive and domineering, constantly smothering and demanding things from him and verbally abusing him. He discussed how Armin was struggling with his sexuality around the age of 13, and also how Armin even experimented with cross-dressing in this time as a teenager.
Doesn't that sound a little Ed Gein to you?
A little bit. Now, Seeberg and his wife would visit Armin in his farmhouse after his mother died. That was literally Armin's only friend. And he described how the upstairs of the farmhouse was just covered in rotting cat excrement. And creepily enough, how Armin's mother's room, how he kept it just as it would have been had she been alive.
Oh, that's not some creepy Norman Bates stuff, right?
Her slippers were actually still beside the bed and the bed was made. Now, the moment of clarity for him came when Armin showed he and his wife an internet video of a really bad wreck. And he was fascinated and laughing about all of the victims with their missing limbs. And, like, it was really a gory, gory accident.
Oh, that's cute.
They decided to break away from him at that moment and distance themselves as they were grossed out by the incident.
Oh, you don't say.
Remember Bern Brandis's ex-boyfriend, Victor Serrano, and how he testified? So he also testified about how Bern Brandis was also obsessed with cannibalism and having his penis mutilated. And again, don't forget that quote. Bern kept urging me to bite off his penis. He always achieved orgasm when I placed my teeth around it. He wanted to be bitten everywhere, but the penis was his fantasy, his obsession. The defense tried to prove that this was a consensual and approved act of murder, and not that Brandis merely wanted to be mutilated.
Wait, didn't he offer him like 10,000 Deutschmarks?
Yeah, like $6,000.
Jeez.
Imagine if your partner keeps wanting you to bite a piece of their body off and then actually offers you money.
That's when you say, I'm going to break up with you.
And that's what Victor Serrano did. Now, during the trial, psychiatrists determined that neither of the two men appeared to be mentally ill. Klaus Beyer from the Institute of Sexology and Sexual Medicine in Berlin was the expert witness who twice provided forensic expertise on Mivas. He said, quote, Armin suffered neither from a psychosis nor any other mental illness or any personality disorder.
How is that possible?
Quite the contrary. He had a normal IQ and his social competence was high. To everybody who had private or professional contact with him, Armin seemed to be an open-minded and friendly contemporary man who, in the forming of contacts, appeared pleasant-natured, flexible, and socially competent, even agile. Even extremely experienced police officers, who could not believe what he had done, had to put on record that if they had not known about the offense, Armin Mivas never offered anything conspicuous during the entire period of investigation. A later paper by Klaus Beyer stated, before the age of 11 years, Armin was preoccupied by the idea of incorporating another male by eating his flesh. This paraphilia has caused him to seek unsolicited partners who pretended to mirror his desire insofar that they should have the wish of being incorporated. It took years to find such a counterpart using the frighteningly developed subculture on the internet for that purpose, where people with this special inclination can encourage each other.
I don't like the word incorporated. Right? Like, I don't like the idea of someone eating somebody to incorporate. Ugh.
I mean, that's Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, no, that definitely is. God, I just can't even, like, connect myself mentally to that kind of thought process and behavior.
I know. Now, even though Mivas stated that he did not want to murder, only eat and burn, the courts disagreed. And on January 30th, 2004, Armin Mivas was charged with manslaughter and sentenced to 8.5 years in prison. But wait, there's more. Outrage. The public was so outraged that a heinous and taboo crime like this would only net Armin Mivas 8.5 years in prison that the courts took action and the case was reopened. In April of 2005, the German court ordered a retrial after prosecutors appealed Mivas' sentence, saying that he should have been convicted of murder due to the fact that he killed for sexual gratification. On May 10, 2006, a Frankfurt court convicted Mivas of murder and sentenced him to life in prison. Multiple psychiatrists testified that Mivas was likely to reoffend due to still having dreams and fantasies of eating people.
Oh, so that never like subsided.
That never subsided.
He sounds like he was really open about his thoughts and feelings about eating people.
He was very open.
So that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And no remorse, huh?
Well, let's talk about his life in prison and then current day. Because funnily enough, there's an update, guys. In 2007, the UK Daily Mail reported that Mivas became the head of the prison Green Party. And in the absolute epitome of irony, seriously the most ironic piece of anything I've ever heard, Armin Mivas is now a strict vegetarian.
What?
Yeah.
So he's trying to say he has a change of heart, huh?
Now, in October of 2018, the higher regional court in Frankfurt endorsed a lower court's decision to reject an appeal by Armin Mivas to have his sentence converted into a suspended sentence. And at this point, he had already served 15 years. The higher regional court's ruling cannot be appealed, so Mivas will, in fact, serve life.
So they gave him a life sentence.
Yeah, but I mean, it cannot be appealed. He will, in fact, now serve life. And he says that he will spend the rest of his time in prison writing his memoirs, and he hopes that they will discourage people with the same sort of fetishes to follow in his footsteps. In an article from Reuters, he says he still, quote, cherishes the intense, positive memories he has of his first and last night with Bernd Brandes. However, he ultimately regrets what transpired.
Now he is displaying remorse. That's so weird. It doesn't seem so, but not really. Yeah, it's almost like his entire trial, his profile, like his psychological eval, he had no remorse. He was very open.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, I have no freedom and I can't do it again. So I got to pretend and I got to play this game. And I still kind of don't have remorse.
Now, since being imprisoned, he has helped German police and detectives on at least 30 cases involving vererophilia, and we will talk about that in a moment. By all accounts, he's a model prisoner, and police say that he's never gotten into trouble. Quote, he's still friendly, outgoing, polite, Mivas' attorney Harold Ermel said. He's said to be absolutely manageable and one of the few prisoners with whom there are no problems. I haven't looked into this case in probably 5 years or so, so I was absolutely stunned to discover updates here from 2020. And 2020, I mean, just seems to be the year that keeps on giving anyway. Armin Mivas is now being allowed supervised day trips out to a neighboring city where he can walk around and chill.
Seems like his convincing's working.
He's accompanied by two officers and is given a disguise of sunglasses and a baseball hat. One investigator told the Reuters that, quote, two officers accompany him. For security reasons, we take him to another federal state. There, he is allowed to walk through town.
I wonder where he actually ends up walking.
Right?
What does he do on these walks?
Probably sees new people and fantasizes about them when he's back in prison.
Who knows? He's just being manipulative.
Yes.
He's winning, though, so far. He got something out of it.
He did. So that is the tale of Armin Mivas. And as I said earlier, this case has absolutely just saturated, you know, modern media and modern culture. So we have a variety of films, TV shows, and music, and just, you know, going through a few of those. If you're interested in this film and you have a very strong stomach, I suggest the movie Marion Dora's Cannibal. It's a German film. It's very rare and hard to find. It's not for the squeamish, but it's one of my favorite films. I mean, it literally tells the story in, I would say, a non-romanticized way, and it's very good. If you want to see Armin Mivas speak personally, he actually did an interview in 2006 that you can watch in its entirety on YouTube. It's called Interview with the Cannibal, and he's very, again, open and forthright.
Yeah, he doesn't actually feel anything. I'm convinced that he has no remorse.
He says that humans taste like pork, except more substantial.
Oh, better.
Yeah. And if you are looking for something not quite as hardcore, there is a movie called Grim Love, and it stars Carrie Russell.
Oh, that's quite the change.
Quite the change. Let's go to Disney for a moment. The interesting part is that Armin Mivus actually sued this movie and got the film banned in Germany on the grounds that it violated his personality rights.
What? You can do that? Here you have no rights anymore when you're a prisoner.
Now, the ban was ultimately lifted, and then the film went on to win numerous awards at film festivals across the world. And for those of you who may be interested in this case, Carrie Russell plays an American student who's in Germany studying criminal psychology, and she comes across the story of Armin Mivus and Bernd Brandes, and their story is told in flashbacks as she's investigating it, and ultimately she discovers the infamous video, the videotape that recorded the deed. It's mentioned on TV, discussed on the IT Crowd, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. The show Hannibal even references him in an episode. And then the show 30 Rock. I mean, how much more mainstream can you get than 30 Rock?
IT Crowd's pretty mainstream, isn't it? I like it. I like IT Crowd.
It's good. And then obviously, you know, music, Marilyn Manson, Macabre, Rammstein, obvious, the native Germany, has a song about him. And then there have been numerous plays and live stage productions.
I would say Macabre's not for everyone. They're considered a murder death metal, basically.
And every song is about true crime or a different serial killer.
Yeah, but they're so gritty, and yeah, their voices are not easy to... It's an acquired taste.
Yeah,
I'll say that. Yeah,
very much so. So what is vararophilia? And it is a paraphilia characterized by the erotic desire to be consumed by, or sometimes personally consume, another person or creature. Since vararophilic fantasies cannot usually be acted out in reality, you know, due to laws and stuff, they are often expressed in stories or drawings shared, you know, across the internet. And the word vararophilia is derived from the Latin word varare, to swallow, and then the ancient Greek word philia, to love.
Like, when you break it down, how the meaning, like the word origins, right, like the root words for it, mm-hmm, when you break it down, it's always this like creepy.
Yeah, I do have to give a word of advice. You know, I am studying, being obsessed with just true crime in general, right? As you're researching cases and looking stuff up, it's inevitable that you're going to come across crime scene photos. So,
oh no,
in Armin Mivus's trial, the four-hour video was condensed to 19 minutes. That's all they showed of it. They only showed 19 minutes out of the 4 hours because it was so graphic and they didn't think people could handle it. The tape then was kept in German police custody, and you know, rumors have circulated that it has since been destroyed. I mean, he's in serving life in prison. Why would you need that tape again? However, 4 still shots from that video have leaked onto the internet.
No.
Yeah. And it is, one in particular, is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Use extreme caution if you do plan to research this case. I know a lot of true crime listeners do that. You know, they'll get on Google and be like, "Ooh, I want to read more about this." These images are actually coming up on Google Photos.
Oh, they're gory. They're in color and textured. And yeah,
for some reason, I can see a million different things, even Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment. But this case just gets me for some reason. So...
yeah, you were kind of like holding your hand over your mouth at one point.
Yeah,
you're like, I can't do it.
Little gaggy. But yeah, this is the case. And I just find it so interesting for so many reasons. Like, why did Germany not have a law against cannibalism?
I want to know more about that. That raises some questions. Are they really into eating Wiener Schnitzels?
And that is another thing. If you research this case and one of the transcripts, Armin Mivus actually says, "I want to, you know, basically turn you into my Wiener Schnitzel." And then Bernd Brandes is like, "I can't wait to give you my Wiener Schnitzel."
That is like, something that has always burned into my mind about this case, actually. Yeah. And that's what I actually remember the most. Mm-hmm. When I first read this, back in the early 2000s, I found out about it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, I'm on like an old computer and I'm probably in approaching middle school at that point. And I'm I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, it's a big one. So that's it for this week, guys. We will be returning with Lori Vallow coverage shortly. Not a lot's actually transpired in the Lori Vallow case recently.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. That means that they're probably during the discovery period right now, right?
They're
just sharing evidence and going back and forth. We're not going to hear anything.
Yeah.
But we'll probably hear something soon.
Yeah.
Because each side's going to find out what's going on.
It's true.
nobody can be tight-lipped for that long. So no. We'll see. We're going to find out something soon. I feel it in my bones.
And until then, we will continue coverage, deep diving on people. Now we have done deep dives on Jason Mao, Zalima Pastines, and Chad Daybell. So make sure to go back and check out those episodes. And for our patrons, we have our case of the month coming up.
Yeah, and it's just in time for the LSAT and your birthday.
Indeed.
Join us.
Join us. Join us on Patreon. Again, you can find us at wesawthedevil.com, Facebook and Twitter at wesawthedevil, and on Instagram, wesawthedevilpodcast. And I want to know, so the question this week, guys, is, what do you think of Armin Mivas? Do you think he deserves life in prison for his sickness? Or do you think that because his murder was, quote, consensual, do you think that he should have, you know, some...
8 years.
8.5 years. Do you think the German courts got it right or wrong? We want to know. And also, we will have our next episode this upcoming week. We are getting your Lori Vallow Lifetime movie titles, and we will be announcing that this week, guys.
This week.
Yep, this week.
Big week. Big week coming up, yep. Everyone.
Indeed. So again, thanks for listening.
Thank you. And until next crime.